Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, as I do every second Saturday of the month at 2 p.m. Central Time. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. I know a little about that myself, as I've had 10 careers. My first career after arriving in the United States from Jamaica was as a fashion model. Then I was a singer on the MCA label, a corporate consultant for Accenture, and today I'm a professional speaker, trainer, author of 5 books and 3 blogs, certified professional coach, and leadership and confidence coach for Forbes Coaches Council and radio show host. Let's set the tone for today's show. Maya Angelou said, "I love to see a young girl go out and grab the world by the lapels. Life's a bitch. You've got to go out and kick ass."
Today's show is brought to you by JAD Communications International. They specialize in personal development, coaching, and training. JAD Communications focuses on improving communications, managing people and expectations, increasing interpersonal skills, promoting respectful communications, and conflict resolution. Visit them online at www.jadcommunications.com and use the contact page to request more information.
We have a fantastic show for you today. Joining us later will be Matthew Anderson, who will be taking your calls and questions, so be sure to call us at 646-381-4198. And by the way, if you are listening online or you decide to give us a call, please mute your computer first. Let's talk about the title of today's show. Our show is titled Women, Power, and the New Amazing Possibilities of Romantic Intimacy. See, the old paradigm now being questioned and changed held that women were inferior to men. This erroneous and ultimately toxic idea harmed both sexes and greatly limited the possibilities of romantic relationship. Why? Well, because deep, heart-filling, life-transforming intimacy requires equality. The good news is that robust romantic love is the most powerful relationship equalizer in existence. Lovers, properly guided, have the ability to drop their inferior, superior mask and discover the highest and the best of who they truly are. Some of the points we'll cover today are intimacy requires equality, and that the old paradigm held women as inferior to men. We'll also talk about the new paradigm that holds women and men as equals, because only equals can, as partners, explore the true depths and heights of romantic intimacy. Radical intimacy in the context of romantic love is the ultimate equalizer between women and men. And that's what our guest Matthew Anderson is going to talk about. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Matthew Anderson is an author, a coach for life with a specialty in relationships, entrepreneur, an executive coach, and a motivational speaker for 4 decades. He is the creator of a variety of popular CDs and internet courses, including Wake Up and Drive Your Life, The Journey of Love, Eating to Kill, and Naked Hearts and Naked Bodies. Matthew is currently in year 4 of his 33-year plan to live to 100-plus with passion, health, productivity, and especially love. His newest book, bestseller, The Resurrection of Romance, is an example of the goals he plans to achieve and also a result of his intensely romantic relationship with his partner, Sonny. In year 2 of his plan, he came out of the closet as a fine arts photographer. His artwork can be seen at www.andersonelegantart.com. And I can tell you, I've been there, and I encourage you to go to andersonelegantart.com. Though that art will blow you away. It is so gorgeous. Thank you so much for joining us today, Matthew. I'm really excited about talking to you about romantic love.
Yvonne, I am so happy to be here. I think I'm going to take a recording of what you just said and play it back to myself every morning when I wake up. It will inspire me to have a wonderful day. That was superb. I love that.
Well, it's all about you. It's what you're bringing into the world. So, and that's awesome. Writing about
I think that worked better than Prozac to hear you say that every morning. This is going to be archived. I'm going to go in there and get that, and I'm going to take it out and just put it and play it to myself regularly. That was good.
Thank you. You're a man. As a man, how did you decide to include this very important information about women and intimacy in your book?
Well, I think that's a great question because, you know, intimacy is a subject that women often talk about more frequently and easier than men do. But I have worked with a lot of single people and a lot of people in relationships over the years, and often I think the men don't understand how important it is to develop a sense of equality between themselves and their partner. And we're just beginning to come out of 5,000 years of men and women thinking of themselves as not equals. And so really and truly, for the first time in human history, I think we have the ability to have a sense of deep intimacy that is really and truly transforming. And when it comes to romantic love gives us the context, the ability to really see the other person as valuable and important and significant in our lives, and it can wipe out that sense of inequality. If we pay attention to it. And I think that both men and women need to learn how to deal with that. They need to learn how to open their hearts to each other at a deep level. And when they do, that sense of inequality begins to disappear. And one other thing I will say about that is I think if two people are in a relationship and one has more power than the other, let's say one is the boss, one is the employee, a certain level of intimacy cannot be reached because it's not safe. If you're the employee, you have to be very careful about what you say to your boss.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a boss, in certain sense, you have to be careful what you say about to your employee because bosses don't always tell the employees everything that's going on in their minds or their hearts about the business. I have a guy I work with who's an entrepreneur, a very successful guy, and he often says to me, when I go into work, my job is to let people know that it's okay, everything is in control, we're doing fine, and build their confidence. He said, I can't go in there and say, oh my God, I'm worried about what we're going to do in sales this month. And so, because that frightens them.
Yeah.
And so when there's a power imbalance in terms of what's reality, like a boss and an employee, the boss has a hiring and firing power. But in a relationship between a man and a woman, if the woman sees the man as superior, if the man sees the woman as inferior, that grossly limits their ability to be close as two human beings. Just almost destroys it. And yet, since the Second World War in this country, we've begun to develop the possibility of a sense of equality between men and women that really and truly, I think in the history, at least the last 5,000 years of recorded history, has not been available to us. So that's said a lot there, but that's kind of a start to why this is so important.
I you know what, it is very important. And in my mind, even more so today, because what with the Bachelor and the Bachelorette and all this crazy stuff that's going on, I don't think that a lot of people understand what true intimacy really is anymore. So my next question to you is, what is radical intimacy and how is that different from regular intimacy?
Regular intimacy would be, I would guess, what people generally think of it as. You know, we kind of share hearts with each other and we get to know each other. We get to a certain level of closeness. Radical intimacy, and the reason I use the word radical is that the core meaning of the word is radical means something that gets to the roots of something. And so what I mean by radical intimacy is an unusually deeper, more powerful openness and sharing of one's deepest self, one's deepest soul-filled self with one's partner, and then receiving a similar level of depth of sharing from the partner. Now, I'm not talking here just about sharing one's pain. I'm talking about sharing, for example, one's deepest dreams, one's most important hopes for life, one's vulnerabilities in the moment, but also in general in life. And so when two people come together and both of them begin that kind of sharing and they see it, and this next part to me is very important for radical intimacy, if they see this as a sacred and a precious task. I like to use both those words, sacred and precious. Precious is something that if we hold something or someone as precious, we are apt to treat it with great care.
Yes.
And if we see it as sacred, we assume that it has some kind of what Carl Jung, the psychologist, used to call numinous. It has a divine quality to it. And I believe that particularly in romantic love, two people are brought together in a real sense by a higher power, because we can't decide, hey, I'm going to person and fall in love with them. This is something that happens to us. In a sense, it's a grace-filled gift that we get. It's free. It's given to us, but it is so precious. And if we hold it as sacred, if we hold it as precious, we will then approach that relationship and that other person probably in a way that we have never approached another person in our lives. And that can change. And I know we in the self-help business for years love to use the word transformation. You know, everything is transformational, from a glass of Coca-Cola to architecture. But in the best sense of the word, when we truly see another person in their depth, and in romantic love, we also see them in the best that they could be, we have the possibility of healing old hurts in a way that therapy, even psychotherapy, cannot touch it. We have the possibility of raising that person up to be the person that they really could aspire to be.
So,
and our support for them. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So would you say that's one of the values and benefits of radical intimacy then, the uplifting of another?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I think that going deep and sharing your deepest self with another person, and then the other side of it, it's always mutual because it's an equal kind of sharing.
Yes.
If I go down to, say, level 5 in the depth of myself, which is pretty deep, and share that with you, and then you share back with me from the same place in yourself.
Yeah. Then of course, we can have that closeness that only comes from that kind of radical intimacy. Folks, we seem to have lost Matthew here. So I'm going to talk a little bit while I fill the time here with about what I think about this radical intimacy that we're discussing here. When I mentioned a few minutes ago about how it's difficult for many people today to understand true intimacy and radical intimacy, I was talking about with the bachelor and the bachelorette and the programs they have today that are quote-unquote reality TV, a lot of the things that Matthew was talking about are no longer valid. I think he's back.
I think I'm back. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened.
Well, your call dropped, but that's okay, because I was just reminding people about how intimacy and radical intimacy is kind of gone, because we're watching reality shows and we're seeing quote-unquote intimacy with those bachelors and bachelorettes. Mm-hmm. And so there are certain people in today's world that have never experienced or seen radical intimacy, especially along the way that you were talking about it, where you're that.
Well, you know, and I think you're right, and I think that it's very important. The good news about this is most people, and I'm talking about in the high 90 percentile, most people at some point in their lives are going to fall in love. It just seems to happen to most of us at some time. And when we do, my attitude is, if you fall in love with someone, they fall in love with you also. You're given right there in that circumstance the best opportunity you're ever going to have to find out what it means to truly go deep in your heart with another person.
Yeah.
And it is, I think, the most powerful human experience we can have, aside from what we might call some kinds of spiritual transformations. But this has to do with our relationship with another person.
Yes.
And because it can happen to anyone at any age, in any circumstance, that's a wonderful part of it. In that sense, it's democratic, meaning it's available to everybody. The question is, do we then approach it the way they do on reality shows, which is almost guaranteed to kill it?
Yeah.
Ultimately, because yeah, exactly. They, you know, that's all about hype and really
it's
bringing
opposite.
Out really and
it's
truly
the opposite,
worst of people.
Matthew. It's the opposite of intimacy. Intimacy is not this thing broadcast to the whole world. Intimacy is where two hearts and two people come together in that spiritual way that you're talking. They stick their little heads and hearts together, and they kind of hold it in their cup and in their hands like something precious, you know.
Right.
And that's part of the intimacy that the two people have. And I think
I want to add a piece to that, because the way you're saying it, I completely agree with you, and that is the couples often that I work with, who I either see them face-to-face or on Skype or FaceTime, and I work with them, one of the greatest difficulties that they have, even though they may be in love, one of the greatest difficulties they have is if they have a certain level of immaturity in their relationship, in their communication, they start to communicate in ways that hurt each other rather than support. And so I will often say to people, it takes two adults to have a healthy, loving, caring relationship. Two teenagers in an emotional sense cannot do what's required. It takes a certain strength and courage to be vulnerable. It takes a sense of self-awareness. It takes a sense of knowing how to speak to someone with care and sensitivity. That if we're 14 or 15 years old, either physically or mentally, especially mentally, we're not aware of that. We're not skilled at it. And so I think if we start to see romantic love as a gigantic, enormous gift, you know, I've often compared it to winning the lottery. And the sad truth about the lottery, if somebody wins a lottery and they win $50, $100 million, within a few years, their life is worse off than it was before they got the money.
How's that possible?
And it has to do it has to do with the fact that if you're accustomed, for example, to making $50,000 a year for most of your life, and then you win $50 million overnight, you don't have a place to put it inside of you. You don't feel deserving of it. You didn't do anything to earn it. You didn't plan for it. You're not accustomed to dealing with those kinds of amounts. You're not accustomed to dealing with people being all over you and asking you for pieces of what you've got. It causes more problems usually than it's worth. And how much we think we deserve, how much love we think we deserve, really affects what we do when we fall in love. Because I was talking to Sunny today, and I said to her, you know, I feel like I won the love lottery. And, you know, that love, that relationship that we have is so powerful and so wonderful. For me, it's enormous. I have to work at saying to myself, I don't want to get to the place where I feel undeserving. Then I start doing things to push it away rather than receive it and let it nurture me. And that's something that happens to a lot of people in their relationships. They fall in love. They win the love lottery. They think, wow, this is the best person in the world. It's fantastic. Next thought is, well, who am I to deserve this? So it requires some thoughtfulness, some self-awareness, some adult treatment, some learning the ability to be fully grateful for something, I believe, goes along with having a happy, successful relationship.
I agree.
I imagine.
And being present in the moment is very, very important, because when you have a bad day, which all human beings have, if you're not present in the moment and you don't have that level of self-awareness you just mentioned, things just fly out of your mouth. And sometimes you can get yourself in trouble, and you can, like, it's like stepping on a banana peel and the whole thing just slips out from under you, you know?
That's right. Uh-huh. That's right.
So let me ask.
And I like the way you said that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, that's how I imagine it. You know, you're walking along, and you're both in this radical intimacy. Everything's beautiful. You have a horrendous day. Terrible things happen. And because one of my programs that I teach is about emotional intelligence, which has to do with self-awareness and how the brain works and how the physiological body works, I know that because of that being put off during the day, it happens without you realizing it.
Yes.
Stuff flies out of your mouth, and if you don't have self-awareness, then you don't fix that trouble. So let me ask you another question. How can a man or a woman learn to see their partner as an equal? Because that's pretty rare.
You're right. You ask hard questions. Why am I talking to you? I think that really and truly, we've been talking about the way to do that. And what I mean by that is when a person takes the time and makes the effort to sit down with their partner, and I'm talking literally here, sit down with your partner, sit face to face, and start talking from the heart. If I say to almost anybody who has a conversation with someone else, I say, are you communicating with that person from your head or your heart right now? Almost everybody knows the answer to that question. They can figure it out pretty fast. So if you sit down with that person and you start to share from what really goes on in your heart, if you drop your defenses, if you let go of your fears, and you begin to trust that person and share from your heart, and they do that with you, it's almost impossible in those moments to hold on to a power imbalance, because that open-hearted vulnerability is an equalizer. It will take all the power imbalance out of the way when the heart opens. It's the great gift of the heart and love that it's an equalizer. If you don't do that, the inequalities in the relationship will stay in place. And they might be obvious, they might be unconscious, but they will stay in place. But if we sit and we really share ourselves, it becomes equal. And that's where the power is, because it starts to flow back and forth equally, and it generates something even more than what was there before between the two people.
I'm glad you said it flows back and forth, because one of the things I was thinking as you answered the question is, I've often heard that, you know, the power shifts, you know, today I'm in charge, tomorrow you're in charge, today I'm in charge, tomorrow you're in charge. And it's kind of like passing back and forth between the two people depending on circumstances. Do you agree with that? Is that part of that what you're talking
about? I know that a lot of couples think of it that way. My attitude is, if I'm in love with this person and she's in love with me, I want the best for her at all times. I don't want to hold anything over her. I don't want her really holding anything over me. It's that we are in this together. And if in certain circumstances she leads or I lead, I don't see that as a power imbalance. I see that as an acknowledgement of competency. If she's better at doing numbers than I am, and I say, honey, would you do the tax returns? I don't feel like it's a power imbalance. I think it's just plain being smart.
Oh, it's using each other's strengths.
Yes.
Yeah, I like
and,
that.
And allowing ourselves to share that with each other and to resist it. You know, one of the great difficulties, I live now for the last 25 years in a highly affluent area of the country. And I see a lot of couples where the husband is has enormous income and the wife doesn't work. And so in that kind of circumstance, it's been very easy for them to assume that because he earns more money, that somehow he's more important, he's more powerful. You know, around where I live, they have this saying sometimes that he who has all the gold makes all the rules.
Yeah.
well, that's the end of intimacy when that happens. And real vulnerability and sharing back and forth takes away the issue of money, and it goes to what's truly important in connectedness between two people who love each other. But that takes some work.
It does take work.
Because that's a very dangerous kind of position for a man and a woman.
Yeah, it does
and
take
so,
work. And
yes.
I know for a fact that it does. That's why I'm going to ask you this next question, which is, what can couples who've been together for a while do to become more intimate? My 25th wedding anniversary is coming up in 2.5 weeks, right?
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so when you've been together for a while, you really know each other well. And that, to me, there's danger there, because complacency can creep in, or
yes,
taking people for granted can creep in.
Mm-hmm.
So what can
yeah.
couples who've been together for a while do to become more intimate? What do you think?
Here's something very specific. Now, what you're talking about in the book, I call it habituation. That's an actual term. When we get into the habit of being with another person, if we do too many things the same way all the time, we lose touch and sensitivity to it. And if we do too much with the same way with our partner, in a certain sense, that person starts to disappear. And so I created an exercise for that. It's a very specific exercise, and if people want to email me, I'll send it to them for free. It is a list of at least, I encountered it recently, but it's at least 100 sentences that a couple can sit and finish with each other, and thereby themes and categories. So you don't have to do them all at once, but if you did it for 15 minutes or half an hour with your partner, and you sit, and they're all positive, but they're meaningful, many of them, but they start easy, like my favorite vacation with you was, or something I really treasure about our relationship is, those kinds
like
of
that.
Like they call unfinished sentences.
Yeah.
And I send it to people and invite them to sit down with their partner and spend a half hour a day, 2 or 3 days a week, sharing their responses back and forth to this without judgment. They're not the right and wrong kinds of questions. They're, it takes you into your hearts together.
Mm.
This exercise, a version of it, I've been using for years with couples. It always builds a deeper, more intimate connection. And if people go to my website, which is theresurrectionofromance.com, you'll find my contact information, send me an email, and I'll send you that list, and it's available to anybody. There's no charge for it. And if in the book, I've also included my email so that people can order it if from people who buy the book. So it's a way of saying, here's a very structured, clear set of exercises that really does work if you take the time to do what you said a few moments ago. Be in the present with your partner. Be fully in the present with your partner. Open your heart and answer your question, these questions with your specific, heartfelt, deepest answers. Something magical occurs. It's in 25 years, you could, if you did this for an hour or two, you could have a couple's workshop together, a whole day thing where you just sat, created a safe space for yourselves, and just went through this set of unfinished sentences. I think some of it's just really fun, some of it's touching, and some of it is deeply moving. But I'm not asking people to say, oh, here are three things I really don't like about you and I really wish you would change, or otherwise I'm going to have to get rid of you. You know, it's not that.
That's funny.
It's positive.
Yeah. So will it help them be more romantic, though?
I think that that is always valuable, to be romantic. But, you know, it's interesting that you said it like that, because I realize intimacy, the kind you and I are talking about now for the past half hour or so, creates a deep romantic sense. It draws out the heart. And I think that anything that involves the heart has the potential between two people who love each other of being romantic. But I also think it's great to be traditionally romantic, like giving flowers or lighting candles or playing music or going to special places together, to break that sense of habituation. And 25 years, if you loved each other in the beginning, at 25 years, I believe, and I've had this experience, you can recapture that. And I honestly believe that this deep-seated ecstasy that we have when we fall in love with people, our partners, does not have to end.
I agree.
And it can be reclaimed.
I completely agree with you. So what are a few takeaways that you would like to share with the audience as we wind down here?
Well, I think based on what we're saying, one takeaway I would hope that people would go away and say to themselves, you know, I really want to open my heart with my partner more, and I want to hear more of his or her heartfelt feelings and thoughts and hopes and desires for themselves. That's one thing I hope for. I hope they will also take away that there is a magical mystery that is both sacred and precious that we are given, and I think given is a really important statement, that we are given when we fall in love with someone, they fall in love with us, that really if we treat it as precious, if we treat it as sacred, something greater than what we could ever have imagined would develop in that relationship. Those two things, I think, are the really important takeaways.
I totally agree with you, and I think it's important for people to remember that radical intimacy and keep that in their heart. Do you have any final comments for our listeners?
Oh, that's a good question. Final. I think that, one last thing. There's a lot of talk and attitude, even among professionals today, that romantic love is an illusion. And I could give you quotes from different books, but I won't, because then I'll get all upset and I don't want to end this negatively. But the people who imply that it's an illusion, that it's not real, and that you shouldn't trust it. My attitude is just the opposite. When we deeply fall in love with another person,
yeah,
deeply fall in love with them, we are becoming able to see them in the absolute best that they are, and that is a real thing. And we should trust it and encourage it in the other person.
Yes. Yes. And I will say that anyone who says that it's not possible are only identifying themselves as someone who has never experienced it. Because if you ever experience it, you know it forever.
Forever. I think you're exactly right.
And it's beautiful. So that's a self-identifier, as far as I'm concerned. From both sides of the thought process of romance and intimacy. So with that, I'd like to thank you very much for an inspirational interview, Matthew. And my thanks to all of you for joining us today for the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy Show. And join us again next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Until then, I have a couple of quotations I want to leave you with. The first one is by Eleanor Roosevelt. And she said, I love lots of her quotations, but this one, she said, a woman is like a tea bag. You never know how strong she is until she gets into hot water. And the second one is by Susan B. Anthony. Susan B. Anthony said that the day will come when men will recognize woman as his peer, not only at the fireside, but in councils of the nation. Then, and only until then, will there be the perfect comradeship, the ideal union between the sexes that shall result in the highest development of the human race. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And remember to follow our show at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne-F-Brown and leave your comments about today's show. Thank you very much, Matthew. What's that website again that they can get that item emailed to them?
TheResurrectionOfRomance.com.
Thank you very much.
You'll find everything you want. And that was a beautiful quote. I love that, Susan Anthony.
Thank you very much.
Okay.